Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon, covering lots of different topics around Douglas County. And today, Annalisa Nicholson, superintendent of the Douglas Education School, Douglas Education Service District. There we go. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And of course, as some folks heard, I'm a little distracted at the moment after the cat flooding the kitchen debacle. So it's kind of an emerging situation, and we're going to check and see if, I'm not sure if I can contact Roseburg Police about sighting the cat.
Maybe.
Is that a thing? I don't know. Right now, I'm just trying to figure out exactly how I'm going to get through the rest of the day and not collapse or something. Anyway, so there we go. That's transparency for the radio. This is what happens when you go home and find that your kitchen's flooded and you're in a sport coat. So anyway, let's get back to topic here. Thanks for coming in. Overall, how do you feel like this school year is going for ESD?
It's going well. As I always say, we've got great staff. We've got great programs. We're so fortunate for the 13 school districts that we work with. And I'm always so proud of the community partnerships that we have to serve the children of 0 to 18 in this community that we wake up every day and it's our pleasure to serve them and to help this community be stronger.
Over the last number of years, ESD has really increased the different services that it provides. Anything that's new or something you're particularly emphasizing this school year?
We continue to emphasize behavioral health and just helping kids with being able to regulate. We are in the first year of our school-based mental health grant. This is a federal grant that we received. And we're super excited about this because at the end of 3 years, we will have around 13 folks who are going to be licensed mental health counselors, which will be a huge, huge, huge addition to this community to have that many more people ready and available to support our kids. So that's really the big new thing that we've been working on and so proud of my staff and the folks who said yes to taking on that role. Many of them are from our community and are engaged in going to school and helping kids every day.
Yeah, this comes just a couple days ago over at Mercy as they unveiled or got ready kind of the soft opening for the behavioral health unit there, and to see how many people there are going to be involved in that situation as well. I mean, it's obviously a big need all across the board, whether it's kids or adults.
It's a huge need in our community, and so it's really quite delightful that so many partners are putting focus and attention, and we're all playing a role in creating a healthier community. Partners at ADAPT and Mercy, and a lot of private providers as well, just working hard to make sure kids have the support they need.
So for ESD, how many staff do you currently have working these days?
We have around 300 wonderful people.
And that number, has that gone up again this year?
Yep, we continue to employ more folks because we keep getting more grants. Like our school-based mental health grant added about 14 positions to our agency, and we just we're always looking for opportunities to bring programming to support kids. So yep, we just keep growing.
And you said 13 districts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many counties?
So we are in four counties. Our K-12 services are in Douglas County only, and then we have early learning services, so services for kids 0 to 5 in Jackson County, Klamath County, and Lake County.
And how is it that comes from being administered here versus providers in those counties?
So those are all either state contracts or state grants. And oftentimes across the state, we create larger regions than just ourselves in order to serve. So I have staff physically in each of those counties. But it's like our early learning hub is designed to support Douglas, Klamath, and Lake counties. That's how we designed and built it. And the cool thing is we get to work with a lot of different community partners in those communities, and we get to see what they're doing well. And that's advantageous to Douglas County because we can bring back best practices that really support kids.
You mentioned the grants. How many different funding streams? You must have SCADs for ESD programs.
We do. We have quite a few. We have state contracts, state grants, federal grants, our general fund, and a philanthropic grants because we live in a very generous community here in Douglas County. So yeah, we've got quite a few funding sources that allow us to provide a lot of balanced services to kids.
Now, is that always a concern then as you establish these programs or enlarge them, do more things that you've got to keep those coming in, not just, you know, a one-year grant for something that you're then left to figure out what to do, how to fund it next year?
Yeah, sustainability is a large part of our decision-making process of bringing things on. So many of the grants and contracts that we have are annual and year-over-year services that we provide. And then, you know, we try to look at additional funding resources. How can they add to something that we're doing? And then, yeah, ask that big question, how do we sustain it beyond the grant funding period? Or sometimes it is appropriate for us to just have a grant and do something and meet a need for that time frame, and then it goes away because we met the need and we helped kids. So we're kind of always in lots of different situations.
What are some of the advantages of districts getting services from ESD versus providing them themselves?
So a consortium model definitely benefits districts. The majority of services that we provide to districts are in special education. And so what I like to say is services follow kids. And so if a child in a smaller district has an orthopedic need, through our consortium services, they can get that need met. And if that child transfers to a different district or moves into a new community, that service is always there for them instead of districts having to figure out how to meet that need. So we really, our goal in life is to make sure kids get access to the high quality specialists that they need in order to learn. And so we're really providing and offering those roles and positions in special education around, you know, speech and communication disorders and orthopedic and those sort of sensory processing things like that. We're really trying to support kids with more complex needs than maybe just other things you would see in a special education classroom.
So for these more complex situations in a smaller district where you're dealing with a small population to begin with, it would seem like this might be helpful because obviously numbers go up and down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes specialists, as a child that comes into your district, you may not have anybody else in the district needing some of that particular service right then.
Yeah, and then so we can employ people full time, and then they move throughout districts and schools where kids are at. Obviously, our larger districts have full time folks that are completely dedicated to them, and then our other districts, those folks are in multiple spaces throughout the week.
What about the role of technology in doing some of the things ESD does?
I would say I've been at the ESD for 16 years, and technology has been probably the biggest change that I've seen in education. And the way that you think about it with the devices in hand and using those technologies for learning, but and, you know, helping kids who are nonverbal communicate and have those tools so they can do that. But there's also, I was thinking about this today, other different ways that technology has enhanced education. If you think about just like the ability to do graphic design, again, an example of nonverbal children, like having a poster on the playground where they can go point, I want to run, or I need help. The ability to, that's been enhanced through graphic design to show different emotions besides happy, sad, mad, is really, really helpful and critical to our kids in being able to learn. So you might not think of print technology as, you know, a big deal, but for some of our kids, that ability to have a picture that can express their need is absolutely huge for those kids. And the other ways is just dictation. Kids who struggle with writing for various reasons, having the ability to, like I'm doing right now, talking to a mic and it's recorded and produced out for you. There's just so many tools that help kids access learning. And that's what we find really special.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It is 1246. This is News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Well, 48 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. And Alicia Nicholson today from Douglas Education Service District, the superintendent. You mentioned being at ESD for 16 years. You probably have seen a lot of changes in that time.
Yeah, I mean, just in education and how much student learning has changed, how much we've learned about how kids learn. Just some of the struggles kids are experiencing, you know, technology. It's just education is my passion and making sure kids have all they need to be successful in life. So it's been a pleasure to be there.
How much of what you're dealing with right now in the last couple of years is really tied to people's reaction to going through the pandemic?
I think what we've seen is... I think the mental and behavioral health issues that we're seeing arise were possibly there. I think we have a population of kids who are more willing to talk about it, which is, I think, super helpful for them. But definitely, you know, the pandemic has had an impact on kids and behavior and all those things, that loneliness and all of those things that we know kids are experiencing. And so I think we as educators are just trying to provide a place where they can belong and they can learn and feel, you know, a sense of, well, we always want them to be happy, but support that they need in order to do those things.
So as you look at what you're providing now and how it's increased over the years, are there other services, other things that you want to add into the mix from ESD?
You know, our job at the ESD is really to look at the student experience and their data and respond to that and help districts respond to that. So, you know, for us, it's looking at our certain, you know, special education populations growing. And if so, what do we need to do to add or change our service in order to meet those kids' needs? Or if we've identified a population that is struggling, so, you know, post-pandemic middle schoolers, what can we do to support them? We just got a new grant from the state that's going to provide some additional mentoring support in middle school and really just continue to meet kids' needs earlier. So by the time they get to high school, they're ready to go and ready to be on track.
We've been talking to a number of educators periodically over the last couple of weeks, as we were kind of in the middle of the school year right now. How's recruiting going for ESD? That seems like it's been a challenge for a lot of the districts.
Yeah, a lot of hard to fill areas. January is usually the kickoff season for recruitment for the next year. As I just shared, we got a new grant, so it always feels like we're in a constant cycle of recruitment and as we get new funding streams into our organization. So we hire year-round. And we're always looking for strategies to recruit folks. This is a beautiful area to live in. You know, we feel we've got a great organization to work for, and we really pride ourselves in how we support our staff and so that they can be successful. But yeah, it's a challenge, and I think you always have to be changing your strategies.
Is it or is there a particular type of position that's the hardest to fill right now?
For us, it's our therapist position. So we have speech language pathologists, occupational therapists, physical therapists. Those are just across the country positions that are hard to fill. So it's nothing that is unique to us. And then in education, just special education, teachers, anything in special education, and really trying to, our attempt is to grow our own and really foster that skill in folks who are already passionate about kids.
Is that been a challenge versus, you know, as the kind of the rules changed about where you could evolve into education, has it been a challenge to work with people that didn't start out in a traditional college plan to be a teacher?
I don't find it to be a challenge. I find it to be an awesome, awesome thing, because there isn't a four-year university in our community. And I think what we've learned through a couple of initiatives is people in our community really do want to be in these service-minded careers, but the training or the education they need isn't here locally. Their childcare, their family support, their jobs, everything they need is here, but the education portion isn't here. And that's why we are, you know, our school-based mental health grant is bringing a four-year university to this community for those folks to acquire those skills. We've done that in teaching. UCC is always thinking creatively about, you know, how to do that. So, you know, I think the talent is here, and I think we've got great people here, and we just have to think of strategies and ways to get them the skills that they need in order to be working with our kids.
So what's the role of your board there? How active are they? What are some of the areas they're involved in this school year?
Well, I've got a great board, and my colleagues might have mentioned it's School Board Recognition Month, so I just want to give a shout-out to my board and the 13 school district boards. I'm really grateful for all the work that they do to serve kids. Our board is very typical, active in policy development and vision of our organization and setting the goals, and really just a nice, well-rounded group of folks who are centered on kids.
And do you find that a lot of these people are been in this community a very long time?
Our board is probably a mixture of both, of folks who are just committed to the community, and some have been here their entire lives, and others have grew up here, moved away, come back, and others chose to live here as adults and have their careers here.
As you look ahead with ESD, of course, a few years ago, there was the addition of more facilities, part of the Roseburg Library. How many different places around Roseburg do you have people working?
Well, our organization is in two buildings, so one at the library and then one off of Stevens Street. And then I have staff in every school building in this county. So. And then we also have some early learning preschools. I've got staff everywhere.
Is that a challenge sometimes in terms of running an organization when everybody is so spread out?
It can be. We have to be really intentional about how we bring people together. I've got a great administrative team and a great staff, and so we're really planful and intentional and try to put strategies so that everyone feels connected to each other in our organization, even when they may spend 5 days a week in a school district. So it requires a lot of thinking and a lot of planning.
And talk about the ESD website. What can, in terms of people finding out more about what you offer?
Sure. Yeah, our website is full of lots of goodies. So, as far as the general public, there's a lot of information about the early learning services we provide. Community Uplift, which is a referral service to for folks who need supports in this community. Our parent education programs. And then we also have the homeschool registration on the site. And then also just a lot of information about all of the various programs that we have.
All right, we're out of time for there. And Alicia Nicholson from Douglas Education Service District. It's 12:57.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.